to heaven, but be his breast and pray. O God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, the latter went home justified, not the former. For whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and the one who humbles himself will be exalted. The Gospel of the Lord.
This to us. He eagerly desires it. But if
hurting his own family, one who collaborated with the oppressors, Rome, and they would tax the Jewish people and even increase the tax more so that they could take their own cut. So the tax collectors were incredibly hated by the Jewish people. They felt utterly betrayed by them. And yet, our Lord's shocking parable reveals how God actually views these two men, how God actually looks at them when they come to him for prayer. And if we start with the Pharisee, "Oh God, I thank you that I am not like the rest of humanity, greedy, dishonest, adulterous, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and I pray and I pay tithes on my whole income." He's doing all the right things. He's fasting. He's paying tithes. He's not lying. He says he's not dishonest. He's not an adulterer. And he's not greedy. He's doing all the right things. But he comes with this disposition to God. It's this prideful disposition. He believes that he has done this on his own, that he has achieved all these marks of living out the faith. And the danger with this disposition is that it places himself in the center of the universe instead of God. He believes that he is now in the very center and God revolves around him, because he believes he can do it all on his own, that he has achieved all these marks without any assistance, that he is not like everybody else, but he stands above. This is what pride does. Pride places ourselves in the position of God, thinking we are at the very center, when in reality we know that God is always the center of the universe, and he must be the center of our own hearts. That's where God deserves to be seated, at the very center of our lives. And if we go to the tax collector now, one who is entrenched in this in sin, entrenched in hurting the people that he grew up with, he comes before the Temple Mount, utterly ashamed of himself, cannot even lift his eyes to look up, and he says, "Be merciful to me, a sinner. Be merciful to me, a sinner." This is the humility that we all must approach God with. This is how we all must come before the Lord. Be merciful to us, sinners. Because when we're truly open and honest with the Lord and come before him realizing, "Lord, I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof, but only say the words and my soul shall be healed." We say that every time before we receive the Eucharist, before we receive our Lord's divinity. Because why? We aren't worthy. We're not worthy to receive God's very divinity, his essence. And yet, he freely gives it to all of us. To all of us, those who are open. Those who are open to receiving God's mercy. Not that we've deserved it by any means. We can do nothing to deserve a gift like that. But yet, God gives it. He bestows it. And this is how we are to do it, by saying, "Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner." Because our Lord concludes and he says, "I tell you, the later went home justified, not the former." The later went home. The tax collector, because of his humble act and recognizing that he can do nothing more, that he is utterly broken, he is ashamed. All he can do is come before the Lord and say, "I am sorry. I'm sorry, Lord. I cannot live this life anymore on my own, but I need you more than ever." That act of surrender and pleading with the Lord to help him, to help him free him from all his sins, from all his mistakes, all his wrongdoings. This act, our Lord justifies him. Our those who ask for it, to those who recognize they need it. As a new priest, I get to experience incredible, awesome new things every day. But there was one moment on Friday, I got to baptize my best friend's firstborn son. And we grew up together, we went to high school together. We actually lived together in our mid-20s. We had an apartment in Kalamazoo. And so it was just an amazing experience and quite surreal that we're all grown up. He's married, has a kid. I'm a priest now, and I'm baptizing his son. And it was amazing. But I have to admit, it was also awkward. It was also a little awkward because I know this family very well. They know me very well. I went on vacations with them. I'd always go to their lake house multiple times throughout the summer for many years, over decades now. And so they really know me. They know what I was like before my conversion, before my surrender to the Lord. And so it's kind of awkward to be in this position as a Catholic priest, baptizing his son when they knew who I was before and how lost I was, how broken I was, how entrenched in sin I was. They understood that. And so it was kind of awkward. And as I brought this before the Lord, and when I got home back to the rectory, and I was praying with it, I was like, Lord, that was awesome, but it was kind of weird, kind of awkward. And I just felt like the Lord say to me, Christian, don't you know how transformative my love is? Don't you realize that you're not that person anymore? Don't you realize how different you are because of my love? And it's true. I'm not the same anymore. Once I decided to freely accept God's mercy and grace, once I realized that I cannot defeat sin on my own, once I realized that this life of being a disciple of our Lord is impossible until you surrender your life, until you say, Lord, you have to do it. I cannot. I'm so tired of trying and willing myself to holiness, thinking that if I just try a little bit harder, if I just work harder at this, and then I will overcome it. But we can't. Only God can overcome sin. We just have to say, be merciful to me, Lord, a sinner. And He will provide the grace in that moment when you say, Lord, I need you. I can't do this on my own. In the second reading, St. Paul, why do you think St. Paul is so confident and bold in his speech about proclaiming